Philippians chapter 3. We'll read verse 20 and 21 again. For our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able, even to subdue all things unto himself. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord again for his help as we come to deal with this subject. And as I have just intimated there, I want to preach on the subject, a new body. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the great prospect of every child of God. Someday we're going to be with Christ, which is far better, in heaven for all eternity. How we praise thee tonight. And Lord, our hearts are full of joy. We thank thee for thy so great salvation. And Lord, we know that that is the testimony of many here tonight. They can look back to a day when they were saved by the grace of God. And Lord, we're heaven bound. Our backs are towards hell. And someday we're going to enter in through the pearly gates. What a glorious day that will be. Lord, I pray tonight for those here who are still strangers to grace and to God. Lord, that even this night that they would begin their journey to heaven. That they would turn from their sin and seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And even this Lord's Day evening that they would be born again of the Spirit of God. So bless us now, we ask of thee, as we seek to preach your word tonight. Fill us afresh with the Spirit of God. And help us, Lord, again only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The greatest blessing that any man can receive, of course, is the blessing of God's eternal salvation. To be saved and to know it is the greatest blessing of all. I wonder, as we're gathered in God's house this evening, my friend, do you know anything about this blessing? Are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? And do you know it? In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, we read these words, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." The truth is that when the sinner receives God's salvation, all things become new. The sinner receives a new life. That is, they receive new life in Christ. The sinner is blessed with a new name and a new family. That is, they are adopted into the family of God and receive the name Christian. The sinner receives a new home or a new destination. Before conversion, the sinner is heading towards hell, but after conversion, heaven is now the home of the redeemed. The sinner also receives a new master. Where once they served the devil, now they serve the Lord. The sinner receives a new nature, the nature of God. And although the old nature is not eradicated, this new nature helps them to walk with God in a world of sin. However, also because of this wonderful salvation that the sinner has received in Christ, it means that someday the saved sinner will receive a new body. In our text in Philippians chapter 3, Paul draws our attention to this new body that the child of God will receive someday. Let's read the verses again. Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21. They're tremendous verses. And if you're saved tonight, they're verses that ought to encourage and bless your heart. For our citizenship is in heaven. That's what Paul says here to the saints at Philippi. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. As we look at this text tonight and deal with this subject, very simply, I want us to consider three facts that we have here in this portion of God's Word. I know it'll bless the saints of God and encourage you if you're saved. But I also pray tonight earnestly that if you're in the meeting and you're not a Christian, you're not saved, that you will listen very carefully, because there's a message here for you, and I pray that the Lord will take His Word and write it upon your heart this evening. First of all, I want you to notice a sad fact. A sad fact. In verse 21, Paul speaks about our vile body. I want you to underline those three words. Child of God, the sad reality of the fact of the matter is this, that our bodies are vile. It does not matter how holy we are or how holy we may think we are. Our earthly bodies are vile. And that's what the Apostle Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 21, our vile body. Paul describes his body and the bodies of the saints at Philippi as vile. Paul says, our vile body. Now, this phrase here literally means the body of our humiliation. That's what it literally means. The truth is, our earthly body is corrupt. It is morally weak and full of sin. It is lustful and wicked. The sad fact is this, we live in a body of sin. We live in a body of corruption. We live in a body of death. We live in a body that is ripe for judgment. A body of death. Well, of course, that's the reason why these bodies that we live in someday will die and corrupt away and congeal in the grave. Keep your hand in Philippians 3 and turn over to Romans chapter 7 for a moment. Take a look at verses 22 to 24. Here, the Apostle Paul is speaking again, and he says this in verse 22 of Romans 7. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Now underline verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Child of God, here is the reason why you and I cannot reach perfection in this world, sinless perfection in this world, because we live in a vile, sinful, fleshly body. Our vile body. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, it says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. These vile, sinful, corrupt bodies of ours will never enter heaven, because the Bible says that nothing that defileth shall ever enter in. And the truth of the matter is that we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And we're going to die. These bodies of ours are going to die. And they're going to corrupt. And you and I know that perfectly well, because the older we get, the weaker we get. Our vile bodies. What a sad fact. That's a sad fact. And yet that is the fact and the truth of the matter. No matter how well we look after our bodies, no matter how well we tend our bodies, these bodies of ours are vile and corrupt and sinful. Now take a look again at verse 21, because not only do we have a sad fact here, our vile body, but we have, secondly, an outstanding fact. An outstanding fact. Look at what it says in verse 21. Who shall change, underline it, our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Isn't that a tremendous statement? An outstanding fact. The outstanding fact is that someday these vile bodies of ours, those of us who are saved, will be changed and fashioned like unto his glorious body. Now, it's important that you understand the context here. Paul is speaking to those who are saved, those who are redeemed, those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Very important that you understand that. And Paul says here, as he speaks to these believers, that these vile bodies of ours shall be changed, and they shall be fashioned like unto his glorious body. The body of Christ is an incorruptible body. His is an immortal body. His is a perfect body. His is a pure and holy and sinless body. His is a body of glorification. And although Christ had to die upon the cross and his body put into the tomb for 3 days and 3 nights, which he had to do in order to provide salvation for you and me, Christ rose from the dead, ascended back up into heaven, and there the Savior continues to reign in his glorified body. In Hebrews 10 and verse 12 it says, "But this man, speaking of Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." In Matthew chapter 9, we read in that chapter about the transfiguration of Christ. And we see something of Christ and his body of glorification. It's a passage of scripture, I'm sure, that you're familiar with. But let me read verses 2 and 3 to you again of Mark chapter 9. It says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them." Here, Peter, James, and John got a little glimpse of the glorified Christ. Oh, child of God, the day is coming. And what a wonderful truth we have here. When these vile bodies of ours shall be changed and fashioned like unto his glorious body. What an outstanding fact. What an exceptional truth. It's almost unbelievable. And yet it's true. And I pray that this wonderful truth will encourage you tonight. Will bless your heart, child of God. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. It's a familiar passage, but it will teach us afresh this great truth that we're seeking to bring out here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Paul, again, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Underline that. We're not all going to die before the Lord Jesus comes back again. But Paul here says this, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Verse 52, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Underline that phrase, "we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, what a glorious day that's going to be when these vile bodies of ours are fashioned like unto his glorious body. When we shall be changed. When this corruptible will put on incorruption. How will this change take place? It will take place by the power of Christ. Look again at our text in Philippians 3, verse 21. Look what it says, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able." Underline those little words. "Whereby he is able, even to subdue all things unto himself." The word "subdue" there means to bring under control. Therefore, Christ, by his omnipotent power, can bring all things under his control and does so. Christ, in his resurrection, conquered death and the grave, and all power belongeth unto him in heaven and on earth. And by his omnipotent and resurrecting power, he will change our vile bodies and fashion them like unto his glorious body. Not a glorious truth, an outstanding fact. Why will this change take place? It will take place because Christ has purchased our redemption through his death and resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at it. Take the time to read it. Verse 21 to 23. Look what it says. "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming." Oh, dear child of God, is your body weak and feeble tonight? Is your body frail and dying? Well, someday these weak, feeble, frail, dying, and vile bodies of ours shall be changed and fashioned like unto Christ's glorious body. What an outstanding fact. This is the blessed hope of the child of God. This is the wonderful truth that the Word of God declares. We're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. What a glorious truth that someday we're going to reign with him for all eternity. And even these old, vile, corrupt, sinful bodies of ours are going to be changed. I wonder, is there someone in the meeting tonight and you're not saved? My friend, would you not like to go to heaven? Would you not like your vile, corrupt, sinful body to be changed and fashioned like his glorious body? Because remember this, if you die without Jesus Christ, you will end up in a lost eternity. And if you were here this morning, well, you've heard that message already today. But maybe there's someone here tonight and you weren't here this morning. Well, let me emphasize it. You will live forever. But you will not live in heaven forever. You will live in hell forever. And if you take the time to read verses 18 and 19 of this chapter, then you will see that is the truth. Oh, a sad fact, our vile body. An outstanding fact. These vile bodies of ours will be changed and fashioned like unto his glorious body. But look at, thirdly, verse 20, and consider with me a glorious fact. Not only a sad fact and an outstanding fact, but what about a glorious fact? "For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look." Underline these last words. "We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." The glorious fact is the second coming of Christ. Here Paul draws our attention to the second advent of the Lord Jesus. Men and women, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is coming again. And someday the Savior will descend from the sky in all his power and glory. And here Paul, as he speaks about this wonderful transformation that's going to take place in the life of the Christian, he draws our attention to the second coming of Christ. You see, when the Son of God comes again the second time, that is the moment when he shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. We will receive this new body, child of God, at the second coming of Christ. Now again, if you take a look at 1 Corinthians 15... we have already read it, but look at it again and consider when all this will happen. It will happen at the second coming of Christ. Verse 51, let me read it to you again. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now underline these words, at the last trump. The last trump. That's indicating the second coming of Christ, because when the Lord Jesus comes again, the trumpet will sound, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And that trumpet will sound at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 24, verse 30 says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Verse 31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. There's it again. And they shall gather together his elect from the four wind, from one end of the heaven to the other. Oh, what a glorious fact. Jesus Christ is coming again. And he's going to bring his saints home to glory. And when he brings his saints home to glory, he will change their vile bodies, and they shall be fashioned like and unto his glorious body. And we will go home to reign with Christ for all eternity when the trumpet sounds. Oh, my friend, the trumpet's going to sound. Now, I know we live in a day and an age, this 21st century, and people don't believe in that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, and they don't believe in the second advent of the Son of God. But the Bible, the Word of God, and we see it here very clearly in Philippians chapter 3, the Bible very clearly teaches us that the Lord Jesus is coming again. I wonder tonight, my friend, if Jesus Christ was to come right now, are you ready for his coming? Are you prepared for his coming? I know that there are those here tonight and you're not prepared. Indeed, there are many who come to our church week by week, and it's great to see you, and you're very welcome. And we love to see you coming, and we want you to continue to come. But let me say this very honestly to you tonight, that if the Lord Jesus Christ was to come tonight, you would be lost. You would not go home to heaven with him. And the Bible exhorts you tonight, if you're not saved, to make sure that you're ready. Luke 12, verse 40 says, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. The Lord Jesus, when he comes again, will come suddenly. I don't believe he will come secretly, but he will come suddenly, and there's a difference. He will come at a time when men are not expecting. He will come at a time when sinners are not expecting him to come. My friend, that's why tonight, if you're not saved and you're not a Christian, you need to prepare for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For if you're not ready and not prepared when the Savior comes, then you will be lost. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 for a moment. This is a solemn portion of Scripture, but again it is speaking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this time, in this portion of Scripture, we read about what will happen to those who are not ready when Jesus comes. Look at verse 7. Down to 9. Unto you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. It doesn't say if the Lord Jesus shall be revealed. It says when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed. It's a fact. The second coming of Christ is a fact. Someday he will come again, and I believe it's very soon. And he's coming with his mighty angels. He's not coming to be born in Bethlehem. He's not coming to be nailed to a cross. He's not coming to be despised and rejected of men. He's coming in power and in glory. And he's coming with his mighty angels. Look at verse 8. And when he comes, he's going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me stop there just for a moment. Have you obeyed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you an obedient servant of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? In other words, have you accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord? Now answer the question honestly. Because friend, God sees your heart. You can deceive the preacher, you can deceive your friends and family, but you cannot deceive God. And you know in your heart tonight whether you're saved or not, whether you're going to heaven or not, whether you have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Well, if you haven't, if you're not saved tonight, if you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, here's what's going to happen to you when Jesus comes again in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 9. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. There's that word destruction again. We noticed it this morning. From the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You're going to suffer loss. You're going to suffer loss. You're going to lose your soul. You're going to lose your body. You're going to lose your mind. You're going to lose your peace. You're going to lose everything. That's what destruction means. And you're going to be cast down into hell for all eternity. Now, I know that these are truths that this world don't want to know about. And they believe that we're crazy preaching them. But my friend, this is the Word of God. I believe the Word of God. And I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And when the Bible tells me that the Lord Jesus is coming again, I believe that. And when the Bible tells me that when he comes again, he's going, as far as his saints are concerned, he's going to change our vile bodies into his, fashion our vile bodies like his glorious body, I believe that. And when the Bible says that he's going to destroy the wicked for their sin, I believe that. I believe that. Do you believe that tonight? Young person, older person, man or woman, do you believe that tonight? Do you believe what we're reading in the Bible? Well, if you do, then why are you not saved? Why have you not made your peace with God? Why have you not started your journey to heaven? If you believe what we have read tonight and what we're saying tonight, if you believe the Word of God that Jesus Christ is coming again and that he's going to destroy this world when he comes for its sin and wickedness, then why have you not made your peace with God and prepared for death and for eternity and for the second coming of Jesus Christ? Now only you can answer that question. Oh, my friend, you need to prepare. And you need to prepare now. You need to get saved, and you need to get saved now. You need to turn from your sin, and you need to turn from your sin now. Whatever's holding you back from coming to Christ, you need to turn away from it. And you need to seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. Oh, dear child of God, let us leave God's house tonight rejoicing in the Lord. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he comes again, he will change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Let us all pray.